From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Continuing his series in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message entitled Judgment According to Works, another portion of the theme, The Principles of Divine Judgment. We've seen that the judgment of God is according to truth. Then it is according to the character of the judge, the holy, righteous, and unchangeable God. In this message, Dr. Cairns is demonstrating that the judgment of God is according to works. In Romans 2, verse 6, we read that God will render to every man according to his deeds. This verse presents the solemn truth that what we do in time has eternal implications. According to verse 7, those who are truly saved continue in well-doing or in good works throughout their Christian lives. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. Before he comes, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, What of My House? The text is Acts chapter 16 and verse 31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. This gospel for a man with a sword at his throat is the gospel for me. This would suit me if I were dying, and it is all that I need while I am living. I look away from self and sin and all idea of personal merit, and I trust the Lord Jesus as the Savior whom God has given. I believe in Him. I rest on Him. I accept Him to be my all in all. Lord, I am saved, and I shall be saved to all eternity, for I believe in Jesus. Blessed be thy name for this. May I daily prove by my life that I am saved from selfishness and worldliness and every form of evil. But those last words about my house, Lord, I would not run away with half a promise when thou dost give a whole one. I beseech thee, save all my family, save the nearest and dearest, convert the children and the grandchildren if I have any. Be gracious to my servants and all who dwell under my roof or work for me. Thou makest this promise to me personally if I believe in the Lord Jesus. I beseech thee to do as thou hast said. I would go over in my prayer every day the names of all my brothers and sisters, parents, children, friends, relatives, servants, and give thee no rest till that word is fulfilled, and thy house.
I'm
Have a desire to study the Bible, but you're really not sure how to go about it? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study today.
I want you to see tonight is this: what we're dealing with is not a little truth. It's not an isolated truth. It's not a truth on the periphery of revelation. This is something that is so close to the very core of the biblical revelation of God's dealings with man that in both Old Testament and New Testament it is iterated and it is emphasized. You can see the fundamental message, a message from which there's no escape for any one of us. What we do in this life has consequences for all eternity. What you do, what I do, has consequences for all eternity. As Paul expounds this truth, he speaks of and applies it to two classes of people. Not to Jews and Gentiles, as the Jews might have thought. But he says there's no respect of persons with God. It's the Jew first and also the Gentile. And they stand in the same moral and spiritual standing before God. No, he speaks of two classes of people. Those who receive glory and honor and immortality and peace. Eternal life. And those who suffer the wrath and the indignation of the righteous judgment of God. He's speaking about eternity, and he's speaking about the saved and the unsaved and their eternal destinies. Two peoples, not Jews and Gentiles, not Protestants and Roman Catholics, not, quotes, Christians in the worldlies, the world's meaning of the term, like all the denominations of Christendom versus Islam or the heathens. No. Not black and white, or rich and poor. It's too easy to divide men up into the classifications that make us comfortable in our sin. He's talking about the saved and the unsaved. He's talking about people who in the judgment will go into heaven and people who in the judgment will go into hell. Talking about eternal destinies. It's very important to recognize that Paul speaks about how the Lord will face men with their works when they stand before him, because he speaks in very different kinds of terms about how God refers the works of the saved to their judgment, to their reward, and the works of the unsaved to their judgment. When you read an English translation of Romans 2, it's natural to think that Paul says, verse 7, that to these people whom I'm speaking about by patient continuance and well-doing, etc., to them God will render eternal life. But to those in verse 8 who are contentious and don't obey the truth, God will render indignation and wrath. As it appears in the translation, the verb render in verse 6 governs what he gives to those who are saved in verse 7 and those who are lost in verse 8. But however, I think that that would be a major mistake, because Paul is very careful in how he constructs his sentence. I don't want to try to get technical, because that's when you lose a whole lot of people, but you're going to have to bear with me here, because this is a case where important doctrine depends on paying close attention to what Paul actually wrote. In verse 7, to them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory, honor, and immortality, eternal life. In verse 7, what the saved people are said to receive is in what is called the accusative case. That is the direct object of the verb to render. What they receive, God gives them. Verse 7. In verse 8, however, what sinners come to experience is not as we would expect in the accusative case. In other words, it is not governed by the verb to render. Suddenly it's in the nominative case. The nominative case is the subject of a verb, not the object. Now let me get through all the technicality and make it as simple as I can. What this is saying is that what sinners receive is not described as something that God gives them as He gives eternal life to the saints. But it's something that arises naturally and necessarily from what they have done. Let me explain it, for it's vital that we grasp Paul's reason for changing this construction. Verse 6, God will render or give a recompense to every man according to his works. Verse 7, actually, in the Greek text, would start with the phrase, on the one hand, He will render to the saved eternal life. Verse 8, on the other hand, now watch it carefully, to the unsaved, indignation and wrath shall be or shall arise. It's what's understood there. There's a vast difference. Charles Hodge put his finger on it. God gives eternal life. Indignation and wrath come earned by man. And that's the difference. Now that leads me, finally, believe it or not, to get to what I want to preach about. That leads me to 2 points. Now those of you who are used to being here will not get too excited about just 2 points, because they could go on forever. But they're big points. Very important points. Christians receive a gracious reward for their good works. That's the first point. The second point is that sinners receive the just deserts of their evil deeds. So those are the 2 points, and that's what we're going to deal with, God willing. Now let's start with this. Christians receive a gracious reward for their good works. Now let me be quite frank with you here, that the whole message of the book of Romans is that we're saved by grace through faith alone in the merits of Christ alone, and that nothing we do before, at, or after conversion in any way contributes to our right standing with God, that our right standing with God is by grace alone and the imputation of the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ, received by faith without works. I have spent too long in Romans 1. Saved life's under the blood, and all your sins are under the blood, and you're delivered from condemnation through grace in by the merits of Christ. All that is true. And yet, what you do in your life, what you do with your life, is eternally important. And I want the truth of that to grip our hearts. Can I point out to you first and foremost that Christians are identified by their patient continuance in well-doing. Quite literally, the word is their persistence in good work. When Paul comes to describe a Christian, there are various ways of describing a Christian. You may describe him as a Christian. Originally, that described his suffering because of Jesus Christ. You may describe him as a believer. You may describe him as a saint. Those are all aspects of what it is to be a Christian. Here in this passage, Paul is describing Christians as people who are marked by persistence in good work. Now remember that the major theme of Romans chapter 2 is that God does not accept men because of national identity, religious privilege, or pious profession. That's another truth that is widely expounded in the Scriptures. Remember what the Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7? Not every man that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. For many shall say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils? And in thy name have done many wonderful works? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me. Do you see what Jesus is saying? I would to God that every fundamentalist church and every Presbyterian church and every other church would get a grip of this. This notion today that it's so easy to be a Christian, you just need to walk an aisle and you go out and you're a Christian from that minute, though you live a life that would scandalize the devil and the demons of hell, but you're a Christian anyway. This notion that you can have Jesus as Savior while denying Him as Lord. This notion that faith is nothing more than a nod of mental assent is so foreign to God's Word. It's the easiest thing in the world to go into Scripture and lift the text right out of its context. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In the context of the book of Romans, that is one of the most glorious statements in Scripture. In the context of many a so-called evangelical pulpit, it is utter rubbish and heresy. It tells blackguards, blasphemers and sinners, hypocrites and liars, just call in the name of the Lord and go on the way you've always gone and you'll go to heaven. I tell you, you'll go to hell. It's not the gospel. It's not the gospel. Do you see this? Jesus is saying, you can come orthodox in your theology. Lord, Lord, you can come with great religious experience. I have cast out devils in your name. But if you do not do the will of your Father in heaven, you are not a Christian. That's what Jesus is saying. Is that a fearful statement? Certainly is. If it doesn't make you tremble, I pity you. This is what Paul is saying. People who are saved. People who are saved. They're not perfect. That goes very clear from what he goes on to say in the rest of the epistle and all his epistles. They're not perfect. But people who are genuinely saved do not make a flash in the pan profession or decision. They go on with God.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.